said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when we speak the words of Jesus, when we minister the words of Jesus, we know that there is life imparted to the hearer. And of course, the word life there, when Jesus said that, my words are spirit and they are life, the word life there is the Greek, from the Greek word zoe. And zoe speaks to us about not just ordinary life, but a life blessed of God. In fact, some theologians translate it, it is the God kind of life. Life as God has it, rich and full with joy and happiness and so forth. So the life that comes from the Word is a life that can absolutely permeate every part of our being and fill us to the full. You ready to receive that today? There's a lot of awesome things that are happening around the world, and there's a lot of things probably that we would think are quite negative, but there are things that are happening that are good too. And I was just telling some of the people in the prayer room this morning that I was talking to Sarah Maynard this week, who's from BC, and she has a lot of connections within the church, but also in the secular world as well, because she's involved very much in a prayer movement. Her movement is called the Red Leaf Prayer. And she told me this week that the president of the University of British Columbia is a born-again believer. And there are 55,000 students that go to the University of British Columbia. And the president told the students, the believers within the student body, to go out and declare your faith. Go out and share your faith amongst the student body. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's really awesome. That's wonderful. Imagine the impact that that could have upon a community and even upon the nations. When those students go from not only from other places in Canada, but other nations of the world, they can have an impact. And people who receive the word of the Lord and receive the kingdom of God, when they go places, they carry the kingdom of God. So wherever they go, wherever those students go, many of them will be touched, they will go and release the presence of the kingdom of God wherever they are. Well, you're here. You're not out doing something else this morning. You're not out taking your kids to sports thing. You're not tied up in other things. You're here. So I want you to realize you're here for a purpose. And you're here for a reason. So I want you to take advantage of why you're here. I believe if you're here this morning and you've already won the first battle of the week, you've already made it to church, so you're here. So what's the advantage of winning the battle? Well, one of the advantages of winning the battle is that you're able to hear something this morning that will help you in your journey of life, help you in your walk with Jesus, help you to be able to understand some of the things of the kingdom of God in a greater way. You're here to discover something, I believe. And I'll be talking a little bit about your dream or the dream that is on the inside of you. And I want you to be asking the Holy Spirit now this morning, while you're here right now, just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what dream have you placed on the inside of me? What dream is hidden on the inside of me? What have you placed on me, in me from the very beginning of time, that's on the inside of me that I haven't yet discovered? Ask him to help you discover the dream that he put on the inside of you. I know that as you discover this dream, you'll be launched into the greatest destiny that you could ever possibly think of, because God has a destiny for you, he has a purpose for you, and it is wrapped up in the dream that he has called you to. He's wrapped up in the dream of what he has placed on the inside of you to discover. Now, the Holy Spirit wants us to pursue him to discover this dream. It's kind of strange, but God sometimes hides the best things from us. You know, the parable in the scriptures, it's a story that Jesus told about discovering the pearl of great price, and how there's things in to be hidden from us sometime, and the Lord wants us to seek after him with all of our heart in order to discover things. So when we come to places like this morning, we should come with a purpose. Say, Lord, what do you want me to discover today? What is it about you that you want me to discover today? And what is it about me, what you've placed in me, that you want me to discover today? If you'll come with an attitude of like that, God will reveal some things to you. God's always revealing some things to me about myself, some things I don't always like, and the things that I don't like, I'll try to turn around and say, Lord, help me change, shift me, change me, transform me, do something in me so I don't have to be the same tomorrow as I am today. And if you'll come with that attitude, I believe that you'll be launched into a journey with God that will be the best possible journey that you could ever walk in. So ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, reveal to me today. Reveal to me the dream that you have put on the inside of me. We've all been created for with a dream. God has placed that on the inside of us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, when we venture out into the kingdom of God, there are three things especially that we must understand, that we must realize, and we're going to have to use our faith for that. We're going to have to step out in faith for that, believing, because there's some things that we don't understand. But one of the first things that we must understand is that things are not the way they appear. Things are not the way they seem. Even in your daily life, and you look around, things are not the way they seem. Things are a little bit different than the way they seem in the natural. There are things going behind in the spiritual realm that dictate a lot of times what happens in the natural. But just because you see something in the natural, you think, well, this is the way it is. But actually, many times it's not that way at all. You might see somebody, you meet somebody in the parking lot that you haven't seen for a few years, and they come out and they're dressed to the nine. They look great. You know, wow, you always look great. You're wonderful. Everything is looking good. And it looks like things are good in your life. You're talking to them. Oh, they're just talking about how things are going good and they're doing good financially and all that. But if you were to often get inside their homes and be able to see, be able to tear back the veneer that we put over ourselves many times, we would often see things totally different. We might see a marriage that is really stressful, a marriage that hasn't been coupled together, a marriage where they even have separate bedrooms. There could be all kinds of things take place within the home that we don't see on the outside. So things are not always the way they appear. We must realize that. And on the other side of the scale, you might get up some morning and you might just feel a sense of depression or a sense of oppression. Well, you have to tell yourself things are not always the way they appear. Just because I don't feel up on top of the world today doesn't mean that I'm not seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that I do not have a right to enter into the very throne room of God to find grace and help in time of need. You see, things are not always the way they appear. We all have to decide. We have to make a decision how we are going to live. Are we going to live by the way things appear, or are we going to live by what the Word of God says about me and about what God has for me? And the Bible says, if God is for me, who can be against me? So we can choose to wake up and submit to an oppressive spirit that might be upon us, or we can wake up and say, bless God, God is for me this day, so who can be against me? No demonic spirit of oppression is going to be able to hold me back today. Why? Because God is with me. God is with me. So things are not always what they seem. And we could go to Luke chapter 17 and we could read about Jesus talking about his return and about how things were going on just the same way as they always did, that it would be like in the days of Noah. You know, life was being carried out as usual. Or Jesus also said in the days of Lot, when things were going on just normal, just everyday stuff, and then all at once something happened. Well, with Noah, the flood came. Things were going on as normal. And they were laughing at Noah building this huge ark, and the people were laughing and thought what a fool he was and so forth. Well, just as quickly it came, and the flood came, and the same with Sodom and Gomorrah. Things were going on just as normal. It was just as perverted as it ever had been, and all of a sudden destruction came. Things are not always the way they appear. The second thing that we need to know is that we are at war. What are you talking about, Pastor Bill? Doesn't Jesus teach peace and grace and love and all that kind of stuff. What do you mean we're at war? We are at war. The Bible clearly calls us to a battle, clearly calls us to be warriors in this world. We must understand that we are at war. Things are not always the way they appear, but we are also called to understand that we are at war. We are at war mostly. The largest part of our war, really, is with this flesh of mine. That's the biggest part of our war, really. Our biggest battle is right between the ears, and we understand that if we can keep our thinking straight, we'll often win the battle. There's lots of scriptures that speak to us about the fact that we're at war. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Everybody say war. "We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God." In other words, we're to bring every imagination into the captivity of Christ, make sure that what we are dwelling on, what we are thinking about, lines up with what Jesus said about us, lines up with the plan that Jesus has for us. If our thinking does not line up with the way Jesus thinks and what he says about us, then we have to change our thinking. Bring it into captivity in the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." Again, there are things that happen about us that war against our souls. There's things that will come against our souls. Now, how does that line up with demonic principalities and powers that govern regions? Do you know that? There are principalities and powers that govern regions, that are over regions. We could go back into the book of Ephesians and we could talk about how our spiritual battle, that we are take up the armor of God to be able to come against these spiritual forces. But the spiritual forces actually war against our souls. How do they do that? Well, they do that from media. They do that when you're on the computer and you're looking for something and all of a sudden something pops up. Something might be pornography pops up. Well, that's planted to war against your soul. It's planted there to get you to lean into that so that you can begin to, you look at it long enough and it begins to warp your thinking and it begins to war. It is actually warring against your soul, your makeup, who you are. It goes against what God has created you to be. So when we are at war, we also have to think about, not only are we at war about trying to keep our thinking straight, we're also at war against demonic forces that would try to lead us down a path that would reflect how the enemy wants to live as opposed to how God wants us to live. That's what he desires. Did you know that we are to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches that we are to be conformed to his image. And God wants us to look like him. God wants us to act like him. God wants us to be like him. He has given us that ability because we have been created in his likeness and in his image. He actually speaks to us like a father. He wants us to understand that our relationship is like a good father has with the son. Well, isn't it great? Sometimes a father has a little child and they're walking into a store and somebody stops them and says, "Oh, you just look like your dad." That kind of makes you feel good, doesn't it? As a father, it makes you feel good that they see some resemblance. Well, God is God and he's a father. And he loves it when his children act like him. He loves it when his children show love to one another. He loves when his children get along with one another. He loves when his children do what he would do if he was acting totally in that particular individual right at that time. He loves that. And that's how we look like him. That's how we are made in his image. We reflect his image when we do the things that God would do if he was in the situation that we're in. So remember that we are in a war. Things are not always the way they seem, and we are in a war. Also, the third thing is that you have a crucial role to play. You have a crucial responsibility for the time that you have been given here on earth. You have a crucial responsibility for that period of time that you have been given to live out your life upon the earth. We must understand that we have a responsibility for not only our generation, but the generation coming behind us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and again in verse 28, that God made man in his image and in his likeness. And then he said, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So you have a responsibility to have dominion over your circumstances. As you have a God-given right to have dominion, you must take that responsibility in order to be able to run ahead with God on the plan, in the dream that he has for you. I got to move on really quickly because I'm getting bogged down. But I want you to know that God has a dream for you, and he has equipped you this morning. He has equipped you with everything that it takes to fulfill the dream that God has put on the inside of you. I want to read a scripture to you about God, about a man whom God used to bring great deliverance to the children of Israel. And his name is Gideon, and we'll read it in the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, an angel came to Gideon and spoke to him, and he called him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, what are you talking about, a mighty man of valor? Here I am hiding away from the Midianites. I'm hiding away from the enemy. I'm here even having to trash my wheat in a hidden place because I'm afraid the enemy will come and steal my food. And here you are calling me a mighty man of valor? He totally underestimated who he was, totally underestimated what he could do. And it seemed like the angel that was sent to him didn't even pay any attention to Gideon when he said that. Now, what are you talking about? Gideon says, look at me. I'm the least among my tribe. I'm of the least of the tribe of Israel and the least among that crew. And this is what the angel said to him. Listen very closely in Judges chapter 6, verse 14. Then the angel of the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And so the Lord spoke this message to him, and he said, go in this might of yours. Well, how is he going to deliver the children of Israel in the might that he just claimed he didn't have? How is he going to deliver? How is he going to be the savior of Israel at this particular time if he was going to go out being the smallest tribe of the nation of Israel and the smallest one in that group? He said, go in this might of yours. I believe what the angel was telling, trying to get across to Gideon there, go out in your might, and if you will move forward by faith and begin to do what you're told to do, then my might will move on your might, and you'll be able to do mighty things for God. You see, once we step out, once we understand God's dream, once we understand God's calling for us, and then we begin to move within that understanding, God will move because we demonstrate faith that he is going to anoint us, he's going to empower us to do the thing that he's called to do, that we're called to do. But if we never step out, if we never go forth, God's got nothing to anoint. If we never understand our dream, God's got nothing to anoint. He's not going to anoint your dream. He's not going to anoint something you came up with. I want to be a billionaire by the time I'm 50. Well, if that's your dream, not God, he's not going to anoint that. You're going to have to do it without his help. You see, God's interested in seeing his plan for you accomplished. And he'll anoint you if you step out and do it. If you don't know what your dream is, then it's time to go to God and ask him, Lord, what's my dream? What do you have me here for? What am I supposed to do? Everybody has a dream. Everything of worth begins with a dream. I like that statement. Everything of worth begins with a dream. Somebody dreamt about it somewhere. The Wright brothers dreamt that they could fly. The Wright brothers had this dream that they could fly, that man could actually fly. They had a dream before they ever had anybody in the air, but they had a dream first. It was on the inside of them. And I'm convinced that it just rolled over in them over and over and over and over again until they started putting some of the things into practice that they thought might be able to get them off the ground. And as we know now that, you know, it changed, aviation was born, I should say, because somebody had a dream. Somebody had a dream that man could actually fly. I like this statement by Charles Kittering. He said, the Wright brothers flew right through the smokescreen of impossibility. They flew right through the smokescreen of impossibility. When somebody, and they were telling, all people around them were telling them that they couldn't fly. Man could not fly. Man was not meant to fly. And I'm sure some was even saying, God, you're going against God. Man was never meant to fly. If man was meant to fly, he'd have a set of wings on him. But yet they flew right through the smokescreen of impossibilities. Are you ready to fly through your smokescreen of impossibility? You will not be ready if you don't understand the dream that God has for you. If you don't know the dream that God has for you, you'll not be ready to fly through that smokescreen of those around you telling you it's impossible to do it. But if you believe that you have a dream from God, then you'll know that nothing is impossible when God is with you. Nothing is impossible. You are able to flow right through that smokescreen that the world would try to put around us. Walt Disney said, a dream is a wish your heart makes. A dream is a wish your heart makes. A dream comes from your heart, comes from the inside. He also said, if you can dream it, you can do it. If you can dream it, you can do it. If you can dream it, you can do it. Say this with me. If I can dream it, I can do it with God's help. You see, if you have a dream that's rolling on the inside of you, then God will put his anointing on it if you will step out and do it. I remember many years ago, long before I was in ministry, and this man, and right from the time I was saved, the time I came into the kingdom of God, I had a thirst for the word of God, and I just knew that God was going to lead me into some kind of ministry. And, you know, sometimes things, thoughts come and go, and I remember this man, he's gone to heaven now, he's a wonderful theologian, and he said this to me, he said, when you have something that continually comes up in your spirit, not for a week, not for a month, not for 6 months, but it resides there and it's still rolling over on the inside of you, you can rest assured that it's from God. Not for a short time and then it leaves, but it says on the inside of you, you can rest assured it was from God. And he was actually speaking to me about ministry. And so I never forgot that. And it never left me that God would use me in ministry one day. Why? Because I had a dream. God put a dream on the inside of you. I had a dream. I want you to watch one of the greatest, probably the greatest sermon, part of it, a couple minutes of it, that was ever preached concerning a dream. Martin Luther King was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. And he had a dream. He was a man that God was using to bring life to a group of people in the United States. And that not only to the black people of the United States, not only to the African-American people, but for all America. God was put a dream in Martin Luther King to make a difference. Let's just watch it for a moment. He was a man who had a passion. He was a man who had a dream. And I was thinking about how Martin Luther King, how he must... There's so many things that were going through him, and I was thinking about just showing this part about just the first part about the fact that he had a dream, but the last part of it was telling us about his dream. He talked about the fact that he had a dream, and then he started talking about his dream that they could be free at last, that the African American could be free at last, that the nation of the United States could be free at last. But I want you to notice the passion that was in him. God put place the dream on the inside of him that he was willing to die for. And you might say, well, Pastor, what makes you think he's willing to die for? Because he was assassinated. Did he know he was going to be assassinated that day? No, but if you've ever read anything about Martin Luther King, you would understand that he felt for many years before he was assassinated that he would one day be killed because there was such hatred and such prejudice, and he was preaching against this continually all the time. He was actually preaching against the principalities and powers of prejudice, of racism, of hatred, and he knew that one day that his life was going to be given, but yet he was willing to die for it. He was willing to give his life. He wouldn't stop. He refused to stop. Some people went to him and said, Martin, you have to quieten down. You have to back up a little bit. said, it's consuming you. But his dream was consuming him on the inside, where he was willing to go to the very place of sacrifice in order to see that his dream might be accomplished. Now, I believe today that God is asking us this very same question. You and I have been placed here for a season, a time. We've been put on this planet for a time. God has given us a dream, but he wants to move us into a passion to be able to do something, not only about our lives and our personal lives, but the political system out there, so that the environment will be changed, the communities will change, there'll be a transformation, so that the generation coming behind us will grow up understanding that they have a dream, that they can accomplish things, that they don't have to listen to the doctrine and so forth of the world that is trying to put them in a box so that they won't be able to accomplish the dream of God. But you and I can make a difference if we will allow God to move us with the passion of God in order to fulfill his dream. There are things that have to be changed in our nation, in our province. I can say I talk about our nation, but I don't want to talk just about our nation, because when we talk about our nation, sometimes I think everybody tunes out, because what can we possibly do with the nation? But what about Prince Edward Island? There's things that can be changed on Prince Edward Island. There's people in positions that they shouldn't be in on Prince Edward Island. There are things taught in our schools that they shouldn't be on Prince Edward Island. There are things happening here. There are laws and so forth that should be shifted and changed. But the thing is anybody willing to die for it? Is anybody willing to pay the price? Because you see, unless you're willing to die for it, you're not really living. Unless you're willing to die for your dream, you are not really living. If we don't come to the place where we're willing to give up any kind of reputation that we might have. James Robinson said he was about to go to a convention, and a lot of the circles that he was in thought that this convention was off in the ditch somewhere, and they really weren't on track at all. And they told him, if you go to that convention, you'll lose your reputation. James Robinson, well, praise God, hallelujah. So any reputation that I have, I want to lose it anyway. I want to take up the reputation of Jesus. I want to be on his side. I'm not looking for a reputation. I'm not looking to be known well. I'm not looking even to be looked well upon. I'm looking to uphold the standard of God. And see, you and I today, we are in a place, we're challenged with that often. Whose reputation are you trying to hold up today? Now, I know that I'm not preaching something that's necessarily gooey-gooey this morning and trying to just make you feel real good. But I don't believe that God has called me to reach someone like that. You know, I listened to Joel Osteen's messages, and I listened to them in 20 minutes or something like that. I can listen to that, and boy, he makes me feel good. It just makes you feel really good. And I think that's great. Good for Joel Osteen. I think that's wonderful. I think there needs to be that kind of ministry, but that's not my ministry. I believe God has chosen me. I know that part of my dream is to raise up an army of believers that will say enough is enough when it comes to the enemy's tactics. I believe God has leading me to raise up an army of people who say, I'm willing to die that I might truly live. I believe that God has called me to have a people who are aware that things are not as they appear. That God wants to use us as a mighty army that will actually make a difference, that will cause will ignite a transformation in our communities and in our province, in the province of Prince Edward Island, that will actually touch the nation of Canada as well. This being the birthplace of the nation, I believe that God can do something in this Prince Edward Island that can fan a flame for across the nation if we will only believe. And we'll begin to step out and do some of the things that God has called us to do. What's your dream? Where's the dream that God has given you? Is it hidden on the inside of you with so much stuff of this world that you don't even realize it's there? Has the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches gotten away of the dream that God has placed on the inside of you? I'm not against riches. I know there's things that we have to care about in this world, but when it gets in the way of God's dream for your life, it's a detriment to the calling of God that is on your life. You see, you're all God's got to work with. I'm all God's got to work with. There's nobody coming up that's necessarily any greater that God's got to work on with than you. You have the Spirit of God residing on the inside of you. We've got to be willing to say, if it's to be, it's up to me. We've got to be willing to declare that if anything's going to change, it's going to have to start with me. And then begin to move. And if you go in your might, God will move upon your might and cause a mighty exploit to take place. Gideon went to the Midian camp, and he had 300 people with him and some lanterns. And God moved upon his obedience and wiped out the Midian army. God's might came upon Gideon's might, and transformation took place. And I believe God did it once. He can do it again. He can do it again. But are you willing to give it all you've got? Whatever you give toward transformation in this community at this time will be remembered in heaven forever. Whatever you just fluff away will mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. I remember this vision, that this dream that Kenneth Hagin talked about when his sister died. His sister died, and she went to heaven, and he was kind of meditating on that. He was talking to the Lord about it, and this night he had a dream, vision, whatever it was, but he seen his sister. And he believes that the Lord showed him that just so that he could have peace in his heart and so forth. And he told him to go and speak to his niece and her husband because they weren't following God. But the thing I want you to notice is that she said, when people make a choice for the kingdom of God, when people move toward spiritual things, it's known in heaven. People see in heaven when they move toward spiritual things. When they get a new car, they get a new house, this thing on the earth that brings them comfort, they don't pay any attention to it. They don't even notice that. But it's when people do things for the kingdom of God, that's noticed. That's the only thing that has any eternal value, is that when you move your sphere of influence toward the kingdom of God, when you influence people for the kingdom of God, that's known in heaven forever, and your reward will follow you in heaven. If we are totally working for earth, the only thing we will ever receive is an earthly reward that is going to vanish pretty quickly. But you and I are working for heavenly rewards. No wonder Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said, fix your eyes on your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. That doesn't mean you don't care about things of the earth. It doesn't mean you don't care about doing well and for your family and so forth. That doesn't mean those things. We can look in the blessing of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. We'll see they had all kinds of goods and so forth. They were a blessed people. When God was favoring them, it was amazing that the blessing, the wealth that they walked into. But that wasn't what it was about. There was eternal things that had to be dealt with. So have you been asking God, what's the dream that he's placed on the inside of you? Stand with me, please. What's the dream that he has on the inside of you, that he's placed on the inside of you? You might say, I'm asking, Pastor, but I'm not getting nothing. Well, the Lord told Jeremiah that if you'll seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. Actually, he said, if you will seek me diligently, seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. If you ask God, what's the dream that you have placed on the inside of me? Don't confuse the issue and say, Lord, what's my dream? Say, what's your dream for me? Lord, what's your dream for me? Reveal it to me, God. And as you reveal it to me, Lord, I'll start working toward it. I'll start pushing toward it. I'll use my might and make it available for you to put your mighty hand upon it and make it very fruitful.